Welcome back to the Kleb and Tweez Show. We got a little bit of a special episode for you today. We're here in the Kleb and Tweez episode what?
13?
Is this 13? No, Baker's Dozen was last week. This is 14.
14.
So, two full weeks. No? Okay, scratch that. My math is failing me. I apologize. Regardless, we are in the not in the normal studio. We're in the living room today. We want to watch the Tigers game, the last bit of it. We're recording on a Sunday. Playing the good old White Sox. And currently, just to kind of give you guys a heads up, because it may get loud in a second, we're down 2-1, bases loaded in the fifth with J.D. Martinez up. Definitely possibilities here for some excitement.
Oh, absolutely. He's already got one home run earlier in the game.
And there it is. They just showed it.
As we're watching the replay.
Deep to left field over the visitor's bullpen.
If there's one guy on the team that you can't be upset with of any at all, it's him. He's only been back not even quite 25 games. He's got 10 home runs. Quite a few ribbies. The average is, oh boy.
Yeah, there's a Grando play. Okay. Not the excitement we were looking for, but you know, he's human.
Yep.
He's human. Also, I apologize. You can probably notice I'm very stuffed up. I'm not sure if it's coming across on the
microphone. A little nasally.
A little bit nasally for sure.
Simo's got the floppy hat on still.
So if you're catching this game on TV, there's a couple things that we really just laughed at a lot.
Yep.
The first one was, obviously, Verlander didn't have a good game today. We'll get to that later.
Right.
But they pulled him in the second, and they had Craig Monroe down in the dugout, off to the side by the camera well. And they said, Simo, what's it look like down there? What's going on with Verlander? Can you tell if there's anything wrong with him?
And Craig Monroe responds like every great analyst does, I don't know, guys.
All right. Thanks for stopping in, Greg.
You're paid to do this job. You have anything for us at all? And then another instance so far this game is that they were just kind of talking, messing around in the booth, and I guess Rod must have saw him where put it on or something.
Yeah.
And they go, hey, Simo, what do you got on down there? They cut to Simo, and he has on a
floppy hat, an orange big floppy hat.
He said a local fan sitting next to him just threw it on his head to protect his baldness.
Yeah, wouldn't want to get sunburned up there.
I guess more of a local note, we can go ahead and switch gears. You and I mentioned in the last episode that we're going to be coaching a little league team. I believe it's junior ball, right?
It is juniors,
13 to 15?
I want to say it's like 12, 13, and 14.
I was going to say, because I think all of our kids are 13 or 14.
Yeah.
We got a pretty good group of kids. We got our first practice Friday. You and I are both excited. We actually just picked out our matching shorts and matching shoes.
Yep.
We're going to be the best coaches out there when it comes to looks.
We should also check out the sock game. We got to make sure we...
Oh, everything will be on point every game we're there. Our first game is Tuesday. But I think overall, I think we got a good group of kids. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I thought Friday was a hell of a time.
It was a blast. The kids had fun, I could tell. You know, they were kind of laughing at us here and there because we were being goofballs. But it's something that... Have you coached a baseball team before?
No, the only thing I've maybe coached was like a basketball team.
Yeah, so the first time you pick up the fungal bat, and I'll let you talk about your experience with it, but to force yourself to hit a ground ball, to really just get in the zone of being selfless about some of these hits to the kids, it's a hard thing. It really takes some judgment, some practice.
Well, because I remember when I stepped on the field, and I told you this Friday, I go, Caleb, I don't know the last time I held a hard ball. I think it was about 15 or 16 the last time I really held a hard ball and did something with it. Mainly it's just slow pitch softball these days. But obviously the fungo bat, many people know around the baseball world, it's just a practice bat. I mean, basically you're just hitting grounders, routine fly balls to the kids. You're taught always as a hitter, you know, down and hard or, you know, nice line drives. So you're not trying to smoke the kid with one.
Yeah,
but I didn't smoke the kid by any means, but the fungo bat skills are a little rusty.
You did. Tyler, I could have. I got sugarcoat for you. You didn't smoke anything.
No, not a one.
On a strategic technical note, I think you're just tossing it a little too far away from your body. I think you're getting kind of leading yourself out. But we'll take, and again, I think I apologize for this, but I'm real nasally. Okay. So I want to apologize for
naturally, everybody. I prefer the ball in the outer third. Always have. Lets the arms extend, like most guys enjoy. I don't like to pull the hands in very often unless I have to. But I'm
we're
more
talking about hitting grounders. Right. I just want to remind you that. We're
not hitting grounders to children. So naturally, I'm gonna put it in my happy zone.
That's fair. That's absolutely fair. So It was, yeah, it was a blast. We got 9 total kits for now, hoping to pick up a couple more.
Yeah, hopefully. I think a nice number is 11 or 12.
12 is a solid number.
That way
number.
If kids can't come, or if the kids just suck and win that day, I can put them on the bench because I'm always wanting to bench somebody.
We're already looking at Tuesday. I think we're missing 2 kids for sure.
We're looking at 7.
So we're going to either borrow some outfielders or just play no second base and left center or right center.
Okay.
That's kind of my go-to. And then lefty-righty, you move the shortstop over or whatever you need to do.
But I'm pretty excited. Sounds like it's going to be Tuesday, Saturday, practice Thursdays. I'm pumped.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast. It's going to be a lot of fun. These kids are going to hopefully remember this for a while and hopefully learn a couple things along the way.
Right, because how we mentioned last week, we've had plenty of coaches that we did learn something from, that we didn't learn something from. Hopefully we're the latter where we actually teach these kids something. But I think we do have a good group, judging from the first practice.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple characters.
Yep.
We did kind of warn them. I made them at the very. We kind of talked going into practice. Are we gonna? Should we like take this as a chance to try and pick up some more podcast listeners?
Absolutely.
For the parents, and so we did it a little bit. We worked it in after the end of practice. We made them run the bases. We call it the baseball suicide. You run home to first, then first to home. They run home to second, second to home.
Right, and so on. And you made a little plug for our podcast right before they started running.
Yeah.
And Tank mentioned, you guys got a podcast? And it was, we'll get to it.
Yeah.
So we got the seed planted, so that's what we got going. I guess that pretty much
wraps up the Little League. Actually, the one thing we didn't get to mention, right to the nipple.
Yeah, you did.
The one thing we didn't get to mention.
Squared it up.
Is I don't want to disappoint our listeners. All 10 of them, but only 12 people listened to last week.
Really?
It's a little sad. Hey, but it's not zero.
I'll blame the holiday.
Yeah, it's all right. That's fair.
We got plenty of excuses.
It's a Tuesday. We thought that may have made a difference. So, again, Josh, the nasally, it just hurts. Is that we're the Yankees.
Yeah.
It hurts.
Yeah, we are.
I've never worn a Yankee anything.
No.
I'm debating on trying to find alternate hat options.
So picture this. We're walking in the car after the practice is over. We're just kind of talking about the guys. We got our scouting report from a friend, friend of the team. His dad has his kid plays on the team, so his dad was giving us... I apologize.
Oh, Jim Rice was it's a close game in the bottom of the sixth.
He was kind of giving us the rundown of the guys that we do have. As we started talking about it, we realized, okay, so we started taking a look at our uniforms, and then we realized, oh no, there's the N and Y on the hat. And as you and I put the hats on, we did not realize that there was an adult size, so we tried to put on 2 youth hats. And picture any classic dad wearing a hat on, shorts super high, really defines the old butt cheeks when you got the shorts that high.
We were definitely going for the full-on awkward dad coaching thing.
Where the guy has no idea what the hell he's doing or has anything to do about baseball, but he's just out there for the fun of it. I thought you had something there.
That was awkward. I was trying to look up a funny picture to throw you off.
Oh, okay.
I spelled it wrong. Okay. Regardless here. Oh.
Good play.
Good play. Thank you. For a shortstop who's fairly pretty... Pretty good, Anderson, for the White Sox. He's actually very good at shortstop.
Very good at shortstop. Their recent first-round pick, handful of years back, so they have high hopes for the kid.
Yeah, so just to remind you guys, we are listening and watching. Actually, not listening. We're talking to each other, but we're watching the Tigers game live, trying to give you a kind of a fun, exciting way to mix it up. We did this once before. It wasn't too distracting. This is the end of the game. Again, we're down 2-1 still with one on, no outs in the sixth. Bottom of the sixth.
Bottom six.
So we're going to keep an eye on that. Obviously, by the time you guys listen to this, you will have known if they've won or lost.
Right, you will know the score.
Unless you recorded the game and didn't watch yet, now we're just spoiling it for you.
We apologize.
Also, let's talk about Hicks for a second. We're talking about the Tigers.
Okay.
He's somebody who's just been hot since he's been up.
Yep.
Never has had a cold day. Hit a deep bomb to left field a couple games ago.
Him and Adducci both were kind of those career minor leaguers. Adducci spent some time in the Korean leagues overseas. Both guys.
Remember, we thought Adducci was Asian.
Right. I thought he was too when I heard his name and I saw him. I was like, nope, just plain Jane White guy. So he's currently on the DL, I believe, with an injury of some kind. But with those two guys, they've brought tremendous pop to the lineup when it was never expected. And you can give an element to say if they do win this game, they'd be 500 at 28-28. If they do win this game. These two guys in an element have kind of saved the season a little bit.
Absolutely. And obviously, you don't have room to keep them both up there. Nope. Right now, Hicks is up because I think he came up when we put Kinsler on.
Right.
When
McCann got put on.
Okay, that's
needed,
right.
They needed two catchers. Yep.
So, and I don't know, and Hicks threw somebody out today, pretty good gun.
Yeah.
A little offline. It was a funny, it was actually a funny play. Iglesias threw the tag on up the line, got him pretty good, but the slide kind of threw Iglesias off into this spinning, almost karate kick.
Somersault, yeah.
And he, his right leg actually, the cleat caught the bill of the cap of the umpire, knocked him over.
Knocked the umpire down and everything.
And the announcers, Mario Rod and Simo, actually replayed it in slow motion.
About 5 or 10 times.
And they were like, did he catch his face? No, almost though.
Just the hat.
A couple inches.
Just the hat.
So anyways, that's a fun time. So if you get a chance to check out that clip, go ahead. Maybe we'll try and find a clip if we can and put it on the page. But, back to Aducci and Hicks. I would like to see one of them try and stick around, even if it isn't to replace. Romine's not doing bad right now, but, you know, do something. Mix it up. You know, obviously we have a pretty bulky bullpen as far as numbers go. You might be able to salvage sending one arm down if our pitching stays hot, unlike JV was today.
With, which I guess we can touch on JV because you just brought him up. Left after, what, two and some change.
Yeah, maybe 2 1/3.
Yeah. Left because of groin tightness. They came out once in the second inning. The trainer and Brad came out and checked on him. Everything seemed to be fine. You and I seemed to find no issues with any of his delivery, if that he was favoring anything like that.
No, it just wasn't very consistent. Couldn't find the zone.
Right.
But not all his fault.
But
there was a lot of foul balls.
But I don't chalk that up to injury by any means.
No. And that's something we talked about. You know, if we're in November, not November, if we're heading for October.
If he's still pitching in November, something's really wrong.
If we're heading for October, I don't think Kinsler's out. I think Kinsler toughs it in.
I think if this is a game late in the year, I think Kinsler and Verlander both would still be out there doing their thing. That being said, well done to Warwick, Australian fella.
Soft hold.
Yep.
When they pulled him out, did you see? It looked like maybe a translator.
Oh, really?
I'm not sure. There was somebody who was not the trainer out there with Brad on the mound.
What do they speak in Australia?
They speak English, I believe.
I thought so, yeah.
So maybe it was not a translator, but just interesting. I never seen the guy.
Huh.
Bald.
Wasn't Kevin Rand?
It was not Kevin Rand with a limp.
Okay. Thanks for putting that out there.
So speaking of Hicks here, we talked about this. We talked about when we're watching the game. We want to try and narrate the game as if we're Mario and Rod.
Yeah,
we want to try and
do a little commentary.
Do it.
Yeah.
So let's go for it. Let's
I'll
take
let you
turns.
Be Mario and I'll just be the
you'll be Rod for this at bat.
Goofy ass Rod that brings nothing to the table.
All right, so we got Hicks up to bat. He's had a pretty hot plate appearances the past couple of games. He's 0-for-2 today.
I see you, big fella.
I couldn't be Mario. I couldn't keep it serious.
I don't know how Mario does it in the booth every
now,
day.
The thing that I like about listening to on the radio, though, is I love when Dan Dickerson...
Jim Press breathing on the microphone?
Yeah.
He put the bucket where... Oh! Up and tight.
A
little chin music.
Wow. Was not expecting that when I went to breathe into the microphone.
Nope, I'm going to apologize to all of our viewers because that was very loud.
And these are the things that obviously clearly he wasn't aiming for him, right? No. He just kind of lost control of that one.
It was supposed to be in tight as it was, and basically it was a bad release point.
We've seen as of recently the Orioles have just had a bad rep of just assuming guys are pegging up. Manny Machado is just kind of being a little bit of an a-hole.
We'll put the Mario and Rod thing on hold. Did you see the Bryce Harper incident?
Yeah, absolutely. I can't believe we forgot to talk about that or mention talk about it.
I think the unwritten rules in baseball need to change a little bit. I have no issue with, say the guy stands there and pimps a home run, okay. If a pitcher gets a really good strikeout, he may strut the mound a little bit and fist pump. So why is there no ability if you're the hitter to pimp one yourself? You know, pitchers can get excited after a good strikeout, you know, pump their fist and clap their hands type thing and smack their glove. You know, why can't a good hitter pimp a home run a little bit? And I'm not saying you don't need to stand there for an hour and take a look at it, but
absolutely
a little bat flip, a little stare down, you know, just something. As baseball's having rating issues, to me this would help the ratings to give it more of a appeal to the non-baseball viewer.
Yeah, I think that I agree with the decision to pull away the trucking the catcher rule.
Right.
Although it was very exciting to watch.
Right.
But I think there needs to be some sort of a, not call it showboating, but some sort of a physicality. You don't want them to fight, right. But you know, it makes it exciting. Definitely, I would assume it amps up the ratings. Right. I bet you that this past week after that happened, people have talked about baseball more than anything else. So, you know,
and it comes with hockey like it comes in baseball. The figureheads in hockey don't like to see the fighting. You know what fans like? Fans like the fighting. You know who pays the bills? The fans do by putting their butts in the seats and buying the $10 beers. At a baseball game, you know what baseball fans like to see? They like to see arguments. They like to see pitchers and hitters get into it a little bit.
Get out, big boy.
Is that staying fair? Foul ball? It's a long strike.
Foul ball.
But there's the element of people want that elevated, you know, they want to see the emotion. They don't want to see, because sometimes baseball has the zero, no emotion, really just 2.5 hours to 3 hours of just.
If you're not into baseball, it's not exciting to watch.
It's a tough game to pick up.
These sorts of things are happening.
Right.
You know, Brad was kind of on the verge of losing his job last year. A lot of people thought, just because he wasn't getting aggressive, he didn't look like he was into the game. And I think when a lot of that conversation happened on the radio and on TV. The very next game, Brad got in the umpire's face, took his sweatshirt off, covered home plate with it.
He was actually there that game.
Really?
Jessica and I were, yeah.
Yeah, very cool.
That was very cool to see live.
That's the kind of thing. Obviously, you don't want it to be fake. You want it to feel real.
Right, you don't need to do it every game. You don't need to do it once a week. But just two or three times throughout the year just to show your guys on the bench saying,
absolutely, yeah, fight for
I'm
him.
I'm working too.
You're sticking up for him. So I don't think Brad's a horrible manager. I think he's still got a lot of room to grow.
Right.
But that's
the only issue I've ever had with him being here is that I think he will at some point do just fine.
He was a 16-year-old who just got his license and his dad gave him an Escalade,
right?
And he crashed it.
That was the only thing, is that he's still learning so much, and this wasn't a team that you needed to learn with.
Nope, this was a team that was ready to go right then and now. And I still think that we have that potential, but I think it's going to rely on Zimmerman's got to come back, or we got to find a different option. And then I think it's going to rely on, obviously, the next big thing after Zimmerman, to me, is just pure offense.
Right.
Because, obviously, the past couple of games here, we went 15-4 against the White Sox, and like yesterday we went 10-1 against the White Sox. And so it's just, we can't be as streaky as we have been. The bats exist, but they're not there prevalent.
They can't be that hot and cold. I mean, there has to be somewhat of a consistency. They don't need to be that hot and cold. But to go back to the Bryce Harper thing real quick, I thought it was great. I enjoyed it. Harper didn't appreciate getting hit for something that happened 3 years ago. I don't have an issue with that at all. If that's how you have to get your poetic justice, that's fine. But to me, if Bryce Harper doesn't go out there, then sometimes the pitchers can get away with just okay, I'm going to give you a warning, when there's no real repercussions for these guys. When it's like, yeah, I can say the pitch got away from me, but if you square me up in the thigh or the rib cage, that's where guys probably prefer to get hit, is probably in the thigh, because that's where you're going to have the most meat. You can't just tell me you lost it inside.
Absolutely. And what I find interesting is the punishments that were applied before. They won't tell you what the fines were. I'm betting the fines were very equal as far as money-wise.
I would imagine, yeah.
But the initial put was, I think, 6 games for the pitcher, which his name has lost me.
Strickland.
And then 4 games initially for Harper.
And Strickland's a reliever, and obviously Harper's an everyday guy. Probably out of 162, I would say he probably plays 150, 155 plus, something like that. He's a guy that likes to be in the lineup every day like most do. So, to me, the punishment really doesn't fit the crime for the two guys. Because saying a 6-game stretch, Strickland may only pitch 1 game. In a 3-4 game stretch, Harper's going to play pretty much all those games, if maybe not have a day off in there.
Absolutely. I think that we are in a little disagreement maybe on how to look at the situation.
Did he burn him? Yeah, he did. It's going to go all the way to the wall.
It's a double right there. But I don't think that you can look at what the player plays and then apply the fine that way, you know, the punishment that way. Because if that's the case, then you can just have one guy on the team who only pitches every now and then.
Right.
And
I'm just your beanball. Showing you an example of, to me, I didn't think it lined up for each side.
Well, I would have liked to see it. And I think, actually, Harper did some sort of appeal and got it down to 3 games.
Yeah,
which is
it was
very
4,
to
it's
me.
Now 3, I think.
But what I didn't find, at least in my opinion, fair, is, the pitcher did bean him. But a bean is far less aggressive and, I don't know, incentive for punishment than Bryce Harper charging the mound, trying to attack him with a physical object and a helmet.
Just misses with the helmet because he doesn't know how to throw it, apparently.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I don't know, to me that doesn't seem fair. The pitcher beamed him. he gets two extra games when right. Harper physically charged towards the pitcher.
He comes out and throws some punches and actually does land a few punches on him. So that's where it's tough. I mean, you don't want to just have a pitcher have no punishment at all, because if he just beams him and Harper walks to first, then to be honest, probably nothing happens to Strickland of any kind. But if Harper doesn't go out there, you know, there's so many elements when it comes to this. Overall, I think it was good for baseball. I think it was fun to watch. Obviously, those two guys ultimately pay the price, and their teams do.
Absolutely. However, the internet wins because of the memes that have existed. There was one where it shows Harper. Wow, Harper really threw that helmet. It shows him throwing it off the screen. Then it shows a clip of the helmet, like, flying into a pond off of a golf course. And then it sinks to the bottom of the pond, and now it's in SpongeBob's house. And, like, Patrick shuts his little coconut rock lid, and it shoots the helmet back up out. And now it's in, like, some other TV show. And it's like, wow, this helmet really went on a trip.
Because it just seemed like he was so... He had everything right. He went to go throw the helmet at him, like, hey, I'm going to throw this at you for being a jerk.
Now, if I throw a helmet...
threw it all the way at first base.
If I throw a helmet, my first grip style is not the lid. Not the brim of the hat.
Because that's where you're going to lose it the easiest.
But if I do grab it by the brim of the hat, I'm throwing it like a frisbee.
Right.
A sideways chuck, whereas I don't think he did. I think he tried to come over the top.
He almost tried to do a like kind of a Gronk spike-esque.
Absolutely. And I think what happens is he comes over the top, and we're going to get real technical on this. Yep. I think it'll be fun. He came over the top. Now, the entrance of the head option,
yep.
You know, the opening of the helmet was faced towards the pitcher. I think when he came to throw it,
I think it legitimately just falls out of his hand.
I think the air caught it as he's coming through, and it ripped him out and pulled out.
Because he basically grabbed the helmet by the least amount of material where it's going to fall out. You've had a helmet on. I've had a helmet on. You grab it by that. It's really easy just to lose in your hands when you're trying to adjust it. So imagine trying to throw it at a legitimate pace, and all it's going to do is just fall off your hand.
Absolutely. Now, if you're going to attack a pitcher, let's do this. Let's ask you a couple questions. You can do the same.
Okay.
What's your weapon of choice that you have on you?
Probably the bat that I have in my hand.
Now, I think that's a little dirty. So I'm going to take the bat out of your hands.
Okay. Then probably would be the helmet then.
Okay. I'm going to go a little more creative on this one.
You want those spikes?
I'm going to take the spikes off.
Okay. You're taking it off. I thought you were just going to do like a roundhouse ninja kick.
I'm taking the spikes off, and I'm going to chuck the spikes at him. Okay. A little more consistent of a throw.
Okay.
I think the next option for me there is... it's between the belt and the helmet. Because you take the belt, and you can whip him. Absolutely. That would be an interesting... I would like to watch that.
A grown man whipping another grown man?
In a non-sexual way, okay. I would like to watch that on a baseball
field. Even, you know, maybe you have your shin guard or your elbow guard. I'm sure that can fly a little bit. Not bad, because
those things are hard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, they have to be if you're going to stop a baseball coming at you.
Now, I have an idea on a way to attack someone with a helmet.
Now, reverse, if you're the pitcher... throw your glove, throw your hat, throw the rosin.
I think you keep the glove on the hand. The rosin
would be firm.
I agree. I think you back up off the mound.
Yep.
Keep the glove on the hand, shield-esque.
Yep.
Right? It's a good way to block things or catch things. Because if the helmet comes in, you just swipe, wax on, wax off, and it's gone. But I absolutely agree. You back up to the rosin, that thing will live a good little thud.
Oh, that's no easy thing that you're picking up. I mean, it's not like it's, you know, you're going to break your arm trying to pick it up, but it's going to hurt somebody if you have to do it.
I think my go-to, though, if I'm going to use the helmet as a weapon, obviously we've already talked, not going to hold it by the brim.
Did Hicks just steal third?
That may have just happened.
I think he just did. That's very impressive. Hopefully we'll
replay it there.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to grab it by the brim of the hat.
No. Helmet hole, even put your hand inside of it, grab it from behind.
I think my go-to, though, may be, and don't judge me on this, you charge, but it's a slow charge. You walk it up, get close enough to the pitcher where he's not suspecting much, just a little bit of chitter chatter.
Okay.
And then you drop kick the helmet.
Oh. There you go.
Kind of flying up towards the chest and the head.
Naturally going to the area that everybody tries to protect. Huh. That's another element. I've never thought about that way.
I don't think either of us expected to have this conversation.
Or, if you're really trying to get after it, sunglasses.
Oh.
Seems to be another element you could throw at somebody. I don't know why you will.
A little more of a distraction.
Yeah, maybe just like a, hey, look over here, and then you tackle them type
Maybe you do like the old dodgeball trick where you have two balls, toss one up in the air, and you chuck them. So maybe you toss the helmet in the air, and you spear him, Goldberg style.
Him with a cleat, yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Definitely some options.
Now we got some options next time we get pegged and have to charge them out.
Now we both, I'm assuming, we just talked this weekend over, maybe it was this week, we get on YouTube rants, right, where we watch YouTube videos, top 10s.
Yes.
Have you seen the top 10, like, baseball fights?
I don't think I have, no.
You've probably seen this one, though.
Okay.
Where and I don't know if it's MLB, it may have been college or Japanese league or something. Okay. Better swings, misses, or gets called out. Takes a look at the catcher. Drop kicks the catcher back with the foot and then charges the mound.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, it is very interesting. That's impressive. I'm actually going to try and see if I can't pull it up here.
To give you an idea of what we talk about for our YouTube rants, we're basically saying that say you had like 10 or 15 minutes, you were killing, you looked up one video. For example, I was looking up best SNL outtakes and bloopers, like when they basically break character when they're doing stuff. And this was, I think it was Friday I was doing this. So I started watching that, and then I realized I was about almost 2 hours deep watching YouTube videos, and the last thing I was watching was basically like top 10 worst sports injuries, like gruesome sports injuries.
And that's the one we talked about. I can't handle those. Well,
they're tough, man.
Watching a guy slide into second and the knee buckles the wrong way, it gets me.
A couple of football plays where the helmet lands on the knee bends opposite of the way it's supposed to.
Kevin Ware?
Yep, from Louisville. Louisville, I'm sorry.
Bone comes out of the skin. That's a rough one.
Those are rough ones.
All right, let's take a peek. Let's do more of a reaction here.
Yeah, as we're watching it.
I'll try and post this video somewhere on our Facebook or something. I think this is the Red Sox, actually. It looks like a Red Sox. But let's take a look at this.
Okay, watch the volume. It might be a little high.
All right.
Oh!
Drop kicks the catcher and charges the pitcher. Pitcher does throw the glove, and now the swings come out. Bench is clear.
Now, that's the only thing when it comes to MLB fights that I've noticed, is that there's no real confrontation. They kind of jump around each other. They'll push.
Well, also, check out this umpire.
There it is. Worst baseball injuries.
Umpire's not doing anything.
No.
Umpire's just watching. Now, I think of the Bryce Harper, I think the umpire was starting to peel people off. But in a lot of these, it looks like they just kind of let it be. Oh, way to beat it out, Jacoby Jones. Oh, no, that's my boy, Iggy. Iggy, can't you see you bat ninth because you... I don't know what else to say.
I don't know where you're going with it, but I was going to let you finish. Thank you. We got worse baseball injuries, 10 minutes.
All right, let's rewatch this one more time.
Okay.
Inside pitch, looks like he doesn't like the call, or thought he was going to get brushed back. He doesn't even think about it.
Right.
Drop kicks the catcher. Runs out. I would have expected a spear, a football tackle.
I think that's the way you got to kind of go after it. If you're the guy running at the pitcher, you basically just tackle him, wait for your buddies to arrive.
Now, what I think is obviously we love teamwork. We love backing each other up. We love when people work together and do things as a team. I think there's no better way to show support. And this is going to maybe a little bit raw, maybe a little bit of a hot take.
Hot take.
But when there's a bench clear and bra.
Yeah.
And then the bullpens come on out. What you doing there, bud?
I'm just clearing some tabs. They're bothering me.
Oh, yeah? Well, do you want me to see what you're watching there?
Nah, they just bother me when I have a bunch of tabs. I'm going to delete that email if you want to.
I'll just freeze it there.
Okay.
So, I think that, bitch is clearing bra. Everybody's out there. But then the bullpens, you see, slowly start to jog out.
Yeah.
I find interesting is that they don't come out in bra right there.
No.
They come out and just really kind of... I think bullpens are also saviors of the baseball game and of the fights. They start to pull people back.
Right. And that's where as the bullpens, they walk out, they look at each other. Hey, there, they could throw it down right there. But you know why? So they just jog out.
They didn't do anything to each other. It's just
they get out there and just kind of join in, maybe say a couple words. But you're basically just pulling a couple guys back here and there.
Now, I think if we were on the same ball team, right, and let's say we're good friends with most of the team. We're doing all right.
Yeah.
But obviously, me and you are boys, right? We're good buds. If we're in a brawl, are you just getting in there and doing what you got? Or are you going to try and find me and cover my back? Like, what's the go-to? If I was the person who initiated the fight or started the whole ordeal.
I would probably naturally back my boy. So even if you weren't the guy to start it, say Fulmer and JV are really good buddies, and Fulmer's getting into it with somebody, so veteran JV comes along, either pulls him away, gets him between them, pushes the other guy away, and pulls him back.
So you think JV is making a point of finding his way to Fulmer versus just helping the whole team?
I think so, yeah.
I agree. I think that's the way to go. I don't want to talk too much.
Or like a Miguel V-Mart friendship type thing, I think.
I don't think that I'll ever see V-Mart get in a fight just because he knows his knees can't handle it.
I think by the time he got up the steps, I think he would collapse.
Yeah, it would be rough. He might not even make it. They have to carry him out on a stretcher because he just didn't get to the fight. He just fell. He's in the on deck circle.
Well, by the time every time you get, real quick, it is 4:00. This game started at 1:00, correct?
Yep.
It's bottom of the 6th.
3 hours and we're not even.
No, you're about two thirds. You're looking at a 4 hour game, and the Tigers already have the longest games in the majors.
Which, quick update, again, you probably already know the score because you've seen it on Monday. It's 4-2. We made a comeback.
Yeah.
Bravo, Tigers.
Oh.
Not bravo, Manny Machado, who's actually doing very well.
Manny Machado?
Yeah, Dixon. Hitting 300.
Dixon Machado.
Dixon Machado. I wish that was Manny Machado. I don't wish it was Manny Machado.
Really?
I'm just not a fan.
Like, best third baseman in the game.
Not a fan. Okay. Not better than Brandon Inch.
Okay. We'll leave that for another day. We'll leave that discussion for another time.
Hey, come on.
But now we're going to implement another installment of...
Would you try
it? Okay, no, I guess you weren't ready for the mic. Would you?
Yeah, it's just it's a ways up there.
Yeah, you really got
to
get
the mic's further away than it used to be in.
So, I guess this episode will kind of focus around the... Is it the Bit-Bits or the Mig-Bits?
Bit-Bits.
Bits-Bits.
Bit-Bits.
Bit-Bits. Just one S.
Yeah.
You can go ahead and look them up. Have the research department look into that. So, basically, I'll give you the background information on the old Bit-Bits. Bit-Bits. There it is. So, they are little pieces of candy covered in a chocolate. I believe they have white, dark, and milk. Basically, I would describe it as a milk dud. Not a milk dud. Incorrect. Sorry. My bad. A Whopper.
Not a Burger King Whopper.
No, not a Burger King meat cheese Whopper. A what is the inside? Is that like a wafer? Is it a crunchy?
It's like a malted milk ball almost.
Yeah, malted milk ball surrounded by a chocolate. These are the Miguel Cabrera editions. He brought his own line of candy out. A couple of weeks ago now. I have got a chance to try them, so obviously the would you try it for me is already true. But I'll go ahead and let you run down the flavors now that you found it.
From what I can tell, oh, here's probably a better picture. All right, it looks like we have...
I think there's three or four different flavors, maybe?
Four. That's a big old zoom. All right, and again, very hard to read here. I know we have strawberry cheesecake.
Yep.
I think we have white chocolate. We have peanut. Okay. And I want to say just like original.
Okay.
But I guess I have a hard time seeing that.
That's a bad photo that you got.
Well, that's my bad.
Is there a better one you can maybe find? Like that one right there?
Peanut, strawberry shortcake. I mean, strawberry cheesecake. This one's white chocolate.
And I would assume the other one is just
the blue one. Milk.
Milk.
Which is like a milk dud. Yeah. Milk dud. That's what these are.
Say milk.
Milky Cabrera.
Okay.
But it's on the wrong team. Yeah, but Miggy's Bit-Bits is what they're being called. Now, the mascot here is the Crown, which is interesting. Triple Crown, first one to have it in a while.
Even though I made four flavors, Triple Crown, three.
Oh, yeah, they kind of missed on that, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Now, interesting, if you get a chance, and let's see if I can't.
Now, are you a white chocolate fan?
I love white chocolate.
Really?
We talked about it. You know it's not chocolate.
Yeah, it's not actually chocolate, yeah.
No, there's no cocoa powder in it.
Correct. Hence the whiteness of it.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, very
good. Oh, chalky at times. It can coat the tongue.
It can be
but chalky. In a good way.
Now, out of those four flavors, obviously I'll ask you the question, would you try it?
All of them, I would try it. Okay. If you're asking me to try to narrow down what I think my favorite may be,
yeah,
it's rough. I'm actually a big Milk Dud fan, which I think these are probably headed Whoppers. Towards. Whoppers, Milk Duds.
Milk Duds are like caramel in the middle, aren't they?
No, Milk Duds is a malted milk ball.
I thought that was Whoppers. No, Milk Duds have the caramel in the middle. Look it up.
Am I wrong? Oh, boy.
Research department.
We could be having a breaking moment here where Tweez is correct.
Milk Duds. Yeah, it doesn't happen very often. Why is my zoom so high?
I just zoomed
in. Okay, goodness, champ. Oh, I think I saw the word caramel in there.
Yes. I'd like to apologize.
God!
What the heck, man?
Nailed it.
Milk Duds are chocolate and caramel, but yeah, Whoppers are malted milk balls, which is why I thought the milk, you know, that's my apologies.
I'll give it to you. It's okay. It happens.
So anyways, I do love a Whopper a lot. So I think that...
I mean, I enjoy Milk Duds, too, but we're just mainly talking about a Whopper
here. Can we get off the fact that I was wrong?
Yeah.
I get it. I was wrong. I get it. I deleted the whole episode 12. I get it. I messed up a lot this week, this past couple weeks.
Atta boy, Nick.
Atta boy.
Two-hit day.
Oh, hey, put it down there, buddy. I do love a good Whopper, the burger and the chocolate.
Now, I guess while we're now that we're talking about this, do you have a favorite candy? I don't think we've ever talked about this.
I do.
Okay.
I do. I'm very indecisive.
Okay.
So
No. We'll break this up. We'll break it up a little bit. Let's do your favorite chocolate-based candy, because otherwise we can go all over the place with this. Gummy, non-gummy. We'll go best chocolate candy here.
Again, it's very hard to decide.
Okay.
I'm just going to throw out, it's called a Sky Bar.
Never heard of it.
Sell it at Five Below. It's where I worked for a while.
Okay.
Sell it other places. It's an old school. It's like a retro candy bar.
Okay.
Basically, it's got four little bricks.
Okay.
Each brick's got a different filling in it. So one's peanut, one's vanilla, one's chocolate fudge, and one's caramel.
When we were
it's kind of like
the golf place.
Yeah, it's one's kind of like four different candies in one. Very, very close second, almost right at the top, is going to be Butterfinger. Love getting Butterfinger.
My two would be, one's called, one of them would be an Aero Bar.
Yeah.
Normally familiar with our friends up north. Normally more of a Canadian thing. Basically, it's a chocolate bar that you bite into, and it's got, like, little bubbles into it. You bite into it, you look in, it looks like there's a bunch of bubbles. Very good. Oh, yeah.
Now, is that pure chocolate?
That is pure chocolate, but it's...
light and fluffy inside.
Right, yeah. It's got an element of a, like, a Three Musketeers, but not quite that fluffy.
I don't know how that's related.
What the hell? The second one would be...
Oh, dear.
Oh, boy. Come on. Keep it together.
Oh, now you ever going to eat that again? I apologize.
I may not.
I apologize. I'm looking up pictures of Aero Bars, and I found a hand that had some holes burned in it. So I apologize.
The third one would be... the second one for me, these are kind of like a tie number one, would be a cookies and cream Hershey bar.
Oh, those are delicious.
With the white chocolate.
Delicious.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ever made a s'more with those?
No, I have not.
What, have a fire tonight? What are you doing tonight?
I got the brother's
Dinner. Happy birthday to his brother. Yeah, does he listen?
He does listen, yeah.
He does listen?
Yeah.
Zach, right?
Yeah, that's the one.
Zach. Do we graduate? We didn't graduate together,
no,
did we?
No, he graduated, let's see, 10.
10. So, Zach,
sister graduated 7.
You're younger than me. Sister's 2 years older than me. Happy birthday to Zach. Thanks for listening.
He's on the hockey team.
Thanks for... Yeah, I was never a hockey player. Can't skate. I just I can move.
Okay.
I can turn. But I gotta have a wall to stop.
Right.
Like Benny the Jet on ice.
Oh, okay.
For the Ducks, Mighty Ducks movie. Just can't stop. We've done a lot of rambling this week. We're probably getting ready to wrap it up here.
We'll go non-chocolate candy now.
Oh, yeah.
I told you I'd break it up for you. Non-chocolate candy.
You choose your first non-chocolate candy.
I'm actually gonna give you a twofer here.
Okay.
Either the gummy bear, always can just destroy a bag of gummy bears, not even thinking. Or the second one would be, if you're familiar with, like, they're kind of like wax bottles, and in the middle they have, like, a little juice in them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dude, big fan of those.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, you just suck the juice out. You bite the top off, suck the juice.
You don't eat the thing. You just drink it. Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Gummy bears by a landslide, though.
When I think of non-chocolate candy, there's not much that comes to mind other than, like, maybe Starburst, Jolly Ranchers, and then gummy bears.
It'd be like a gummy fruit-flavored stuff.
So I am going with gummy bears. It's going to be Haribo, but it's going to be very specific.
Okay.
It's going to be Happy Cola.
Happy
Cola. Have you tried it? Have I had you try it?
I don't think I've ever
Shaped
had
Shaped like a cola bottle.
Does it
literally
taste
tastes like you're chewing Coca-Cola.
I don't know.
It's amazing.
I don't know how I'd feel about that.
It's you would like, you like pop.
I do. Soda.
We both are not drinking very much these days, I'm assuming.
No, we've really tried to cut back.
Which is, I mean...
not a bad thing.
I feel different.
Yeah. When you go a while without drinking it, and then you do drink it, you realize how sweet it is.
Absolutely. Don't eat it.
Okay.
Regardless, but anyways, yeah, Happy Cola. They do make a sour, or they call it fizzy Happy Cola. It's got sour dust on the outside. Mm. Also very good. Second favorite, gonna be Warhead.
Oh, good call.
Love a Warhead.
A little sour. Is there like the hard candies, the soft candies, the...
Of the what, Warheads?
Yeah.
Oh, the hard candies.
Okay,
all right. The originals. I remember when they first came out, it was like the biggest thing when I was like in elementary school.
The ones that you made me try out of
Zots.
Yeah, that was something else.
Interesting. So Zots, if you don't have a chance to check it out, we went to, what was that candy shop we went to? It was called...
Take to the candy shop.
Fizzy Rocket?
I think so, yeah.
It was called Fizzy Rocket.
I'm not going to finish that last
one. But these little baby candies, they sell them all over the place if you can find them. They're in strips of like 3 or 4, but it's a hard candy. Once you get to the inside, it's like a fizzy...
I have no idea how to explain it.
It's like almost like a gusher, but hard candy instead of gummy. And the inside, instead of just being juice, it's like a fizzy juice.
It's like a fizzy, sour, like a Sour Patch Kid in liquid form.
Probably Zots, like the Z.
Yeah,
I don't know where I was going with that.
I have no idea.
Anyways, so that's almost the episode. I mean, we're probably bumping pretty close. Biggest Tigers update for us, I think, is going to be... Don't forget, we have like 4 minutes of the first recording. So just plus about 4 or 5.
Okay. The biggest takeaway from the Tigers update is you and I are pretty much just fed up with this team.
Yep.
And it's only
June. And we're discluding. We're not thinking about these past couple wins that have been very impressive because we don't think that's sustainable.
No.
A lot of silence there. what the heck, man?
That gives you an idea of what we think about
this team. But yeah, it's something I do. I think we both agree we want them to be good. We want them to not have to have the fire sale, whether we think the fire sale is good or not. Come the turn, if we're not at 500, like they're talking.
Sometimes it's necessary, sometimes it's not. But I guess we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But I think we covered pretty much everything we wanted to this episode.
Absolutely. So
definitely keep an ear out for our next coming episodes as we get deeper into the Little League team.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be fun. That's going to be probably one of the highlights of the summer. Absolutely. As if the Tigers start to dwindle, we'll talk about the Yankees. Yeah. The Van Buren V-Ball Yankees.
V-Ball Yankees.
So for the Kleb and Tweez Show, I'm Kleb.
This is Tweez.
Peace.
Take it easy, guys.